variety of worship and supplication forms the innermost part of the Salik, and his heart unites with the spirit of worship. If a worship should the heart lack tranquility and sincerity, there would be no effects of the supplications and the rituals on it, and they would not pass from the outer appearance and limits of the body to the domain of the inner soul, and the cordial pause of the truth of worship would not be affected. This is one of the clear matters that need no explanations, as it could be understood by a little contemplation. If a worship was such that the heart could have no information whatsoever about it, and there was no effect at all in the interior, it would not be kept in other dominions, nor would it ascend from the kingdom of this world to the kingdom of the heavens. And it may be that the time of the throes of death and its horrible moments and the terrors and calamities of after death, the image of such a worship may completely be affected, God forbid. Thank you very much. Until another episode, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect you all.
Diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. An introduction into Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, self-purification. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You are listening to A to Z. We want to talk about the self-purification. Well, have you ever seen a grain which we put into soil and it gradually starts to grow and become a plant? So this is a process when potentials of a grain become realized and they become gradually become a tree. Same thing goes for humans. We have potentials within us. And with the passage of time, we gradually grow our personality. We make our potential become realized. Such a process of growth has been described in Quran as the concept of tazkiyah or self-purification. It's not just about purifying yourself but also growing your personality, because the word tazkiyah has been taken from the root zaka, and that means it has two meanings. First, to purify something, and the second is the numu, is the growth of something. So when Quran talks about the concept of tazkiyah, it signifies both of the meanings. First, to develop yourself, to grow yourself, and second is to purify yourself. So the Quranic concept of tazkiyah relies upon these two main ideas, to purify and to grow your personality. So one of the important things about tazkiyah is this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his book says that one of the goals of the prophets or sending books for the guidance of humanity is tazkiyah, to purify people, to make them, enable them to grow and develop in their lives. Welcome back. You are listening to A to Z. We are talking about self-purification. Well, we talked about the fact that Quran tells us that self-purification, or growing your personality, or developing your personality, is one of the main goals of the sending prophets and sending guidance to humanity. Well, if you look at this point from the perspective of intellectual or the natural religion, if you look at this fact from the concept of the natural religion, where you rely upon your reasoning in the first place, you will find that the way everything in this universe we see is in a condition of developing, in a condition of gaining the excellences and moving in the path of perfection, the same thing goes for humans. Humans also have a path, a natural path for perfection and growth. So what is that path? In the Quranic concept, the knowledge of all the aspects of human reality cannot be covered just by experience and reason. So we are in need of some supernatural aspect. We are in need of revelation. We are in need of that aspect which can help us to purify ourselves. So self-purification has two aspects. In Quranic understanding, the self-purification has two aspects. First aspect is to gain the true belief system, because self-purification cannot happen with the background of wrong ideas and beliefs. So the first aspect is to gain the true belief system. The second aspect of the self-purification lies in gaining the virtues and excellences. And what is an excellence or what is a virtue? It's actually the moderation and harmony, creation of moderation and harmony in your emotions and in your in character. So in every faculty of your soul, or in every power within your soul, if you harmonize that in the light of revelation and in the light of reason, that become a virtue, that become an excellence. So gaining of true ideas and the right belief system and developing of true traits and qualities together make the concept of self-purification. With this, we will complete our today's lesson. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
the limelight.
The European Union has given the green light to a large number of new science grants for the Zionist regime amid the genocidal war on the Gaza Strip. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. The Electronic Intifada wrote, trawling through an EU funding database, experts counted almost 90 projects involving Israeli regime firms or institutions, which the Brussels bureaucracy has approved since October 7th. The Zionist regime's aerospace industry is a weapons maker that has boasted of playing a pivotal role in the current genocide against Gaza, is taking part in at least two of those projects. Many other projects include Tel Aviv University, the Technion, and Hebrew University of Al-Quds. All three of those colleges are offering special funding to students who, as reserve soldiers with the Israeli military, have perpetrated a genocide over the past 6 months. Experts discuss the close connections between the Zionist regime's universities and the military on the Electronic Intifada recently. The European Union is implicitly allowing the child-killing regime of Israel to portray its oppression of Palestinians as defensive. On November 8, just over a month after the Gaza genocide began, the Brussels bureaucracy authorized a new research project on terrorism. Among its participants are Reichman University, that Israeli college has a counter-terrorism institute co-founded by the late Shabtai Shavit, who had previously been a director of Mossad, the infamous spying and assassination agency. Some EU projects involving Israel's universities were given the formal go-ahead after the International Court of Justice found in January that there is a case Israel is committing genocide. By signing the new grant agreements, the European Union officials are siding with a regime ordered to stop committing genocide, widely recognized as the worst crime against humanity. It is an open secret that the child-killing regime of Israel has exploited the opportunities afforded by its occupation of the West Bank and Gaza to develop a lucrative arms industry. The EU has no qualms about giving research grants to business people with deep connections to the weapons trade. The Israeli firm Ron L is participating in a new EU-financed project on the future of wireless communications. Zion Haddad, the firm's CEO, used to be a leading scientist with Tadiran now. Under its current name, Elbit Systems, the Zionist regime's top weapons producer. In the early stages of the Gaza genocide, Ursula von der Leyen, the European Commission's president, promised Israel her full and unconditional backing. Officials working for the EU have shown such support by striving to maintain a business-as-usual approach. Amid the genocide, the European Union's embassy in Tel Aviv has run a seminar celebrating how Israel excels at gaining access to research grants. The Zionist regime is the second largest beneficiary of the EU science program. That seminar was told. Known as Horizon Europe, the program has been allocated a total budget of nearly $104 billion between 2021 and 2027. Medical innovation is among the objectives of the new EU research projects involving the child-killing regime of Israel. There is a sordid irony in awarding this child-killing regime grants for health projects at a time its troops have been laying waste to Gaza's hospitals. Babies in incubators have not even been spared during the current genocide. Nor should the EU be excused for agreeing to a new research grant for Yad Vashem, Israel's Holocaust memorial, since the war on Gaza was declared. The Zionist regime has long abused the Holocaust in order to get away with its violence against Palestinians. Yad Vashem has been central to those efforts. Few things can be more obscene than helping the fabricated regime of Israel abuse the Holocaust while carrying out a Holocaust in Gaza.
Start.
Movement.
Speak.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islamite. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon. I am Muslim for all.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners from all around the world. Welcome back to a new episode of
Youth Station.
I am Bita.
And this is Mustafa. There are so many things out there, I think, that, you know, today's youth is involved in. And you would probably know better than I do, because I'm not that far away from, I would say.
Yeah, for sure.
I do follow, you know, things that are going on. But, you know, what are things today that are really important to youth, or that they're really attracted towards, that they're really involved in? You know, what's going on these days? You tell me.
I believe social media is the biggest interest of the youth generation, because it's interesting. And it's entertaining. It's something that you don't get bored of. And whenever I go through writing Instagram, I scroll up the posts and the reels. It's like there is no end for this pleasure, you know. And the speed of the changes and the speed of the, alteration of people. For example, there are some posts that, for example, there was a photo of 20 years ago and the photo after 20 years. And these are interesting for my brain because there is a specific speed of these kind of changes and alterations, which is destructive, because I get used to the speed and I'm interested to be speedy, but good things take time.
Yeah, I would say, you know, and by the way, it's not only youth that in social media, like my parents, even like my wife's parents are visiting these days.
Yeah.
And they spend a lot of time on their phones, you know, going on YouTube and things. So it's not just young people, by the way.
Same for my grandparents here.
Right. And they get all sorts of wrong news, by the way, from random YouTube channels. But anyway, you're right. I think social media is definitely one of those things. And connected to that, by the way, I think would be artificial intelligence, AI.
Yeah.
Are you seeing people, a lot of young people, you know, using AI tools or interested in that?
Me, myself.
Yeah.
I'm using AI for,
what do you use it for?
My assignment, or making PowerPoints presentations and something like that, you know, because I don't want to waste my time whenever I can have the best form of whatever I want. And this AI actually is another interest of the youth generation, I believe, specifically the one that you can ask questions and the AI will answer these questions, because it's really interesting to challenge artificial intelligence, for example, about the emotions of human beings. And mostly the information of AI is not enough to answer these kind of complicated questions.
I've used AI for writing and like work stuff, studying, because it's really good, for example, for getting answers, right?
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of times, like, teachers will give us, like, a list of questions, by the way, in Persian. I say, hey, take these questions and give me the answers in English, okay? So
yeah.
It's, like, it's very, very good to sort of help even study or be productive.
Cigarette, tobacco, alcohol, and all of these things which are seriously detrimental to the process and function of brain. And I don't know why is it becoming the interest of this generation, but at least as a candidate of this generation, I try to avoid these kind of things.
Well, obviously you need to listen to the other episode where we talked about dopamine hits, right?
Yeah.
Addiction is very much directly correlated to dopamine.
Exactly.
Right? Apart from cigarettes, I mean, you see a lot of people using, you know, vaporizers these days.
Yeah.
You know, vapes. So those are definitely things, I think, that attract youth. It's only, unfortunately, only part of, I think part of it is really normal in the sense that that's what a lot of young people do, right? They don't really care as much about self-harm. Because I remember when I was, like, maybe in my early 20s, you know, I didn't really care about a lot of things that were maybe causing me self-harm, things like smoking or...
Yeah.
But now I realize that, you know, why those things caused harm. What happens with by the cigarette that you brought up or vapes is that it's not easy to let go of, right?
Yeah.
It's really... And I see a lot of people my age nowadays are a little bit older than me. It's almost impossible for them to let go of cigarettes or these kind of things. So... you know, things that you like right now, they're going to become habits and a part of your life as you're older.
Exactly. Right? You mentioned a really important key role of our discussion that your interests will become your habits. And these habits might be destructive for your future. So let's talk about these habits after a break.
Sure. Right, so we're back from the break, and we've been discussing, you know, what are some things that are prevalent among youth today, right? What are things that
exactly.
they really love or like
and,
these days?
And we were supposed to talk about the habits,
right?
The habitual routine of our day-to-day life. For example, you know, to some extent, you want to, for example, smoke a cigarette because it's cool, because you are having fun. And if you ask most of the youth generations that are smoking cigarette, why are you smoking cigarette, they only tell you that because it's fun. And
right.
after a long time, the answer will become because it's addiction, because I cannot let go.
Right.
And this is so sad that you are choosing your lifestyle. And the one thing that I want to emphasize in this part is that putting aside the interest, we have to have the best lifestyle. And in order to make this, sometimes you're not interested in, for example, going for sport at the, I don't know, like 6 o'clock in the morning. It's so difficult. And good
right.
things are difficult. And the thing is, you can make use of that habit thing that you mentioned. For example, you can make studying a habit for yourself. You can have a specific place in order to study. And when you get used to the place, when you sit on that chair, the motivation for you to study like a habit will actually have its own flow into your veins. And this
yeah,
is interesting.
And, you know, one of the positive things that I see youth that are today that are, like, being attracted to is actually exercise.
Yeah.
And that is really good. You know, I think my parents' generation was not so much into exercise as much as we see, for example, today's youth.
I do agree, yeah.
So it's the same thing, you know, like, if you continue exercising now, it's going to help you in your old age, right? It's helped me a lot because I've been exercising for the past 20, 25 years. So I have a lot less body pains. I have a lot less disease. I have a lot, you know, so much.
I know.
Right. So it helps you so much develop those habits right now. I think one of the negative things that we're seeing in youth today, which has always been there, is so much attraction towards entertainment and TV shows. And unfortunately, I think entertainment today has so many elements which are forbidden in our religion these days, yeah. Right? And I don't know, like, how openly I can talk about this, but, you know, we're seeing the involvement in, like, forbidden entertainment. It's reaching, like, levels of, like, mental illnesses.
Yeah, unfortunately. Right?
To the point where we're seeing 7 or 8 year old kids being, or 9 year old kids being addicted to, like, adult movies and, like, you know, those kind of things. So you can imagine what kind of an impact that was going to have, like, as you grow up and as you get married and as you kind of continue with your life. It's becoming very difficult.
Yeah, it's becoming a challenge for sure, that we're seeing this entertainment is the main goal of our life. The dopamine that you mentioned is becoming the goal. And we are looking for more joy. We're looking for more pleasure. And we're not thinking about the consequences. After the experience of the pleasure, we may think about the consequence of that, which is a big challenge. Because I believe we are so much focused on what is interesting, what we love, what is good. You know, sometimes you have to go through pain. This is life, and it's not supposed to be easy.
I think one of the things that youth don't like these days is too many rules and regulations. Yeah. Right? I think that's always been the case, by the way.
Limitations, maybe.
Yeah, limitations. And I think now that I'm a little bit older, I realize that without limitations, there's actually no way for you to really grow, okay? What do I mean by that? So, for example, if you take, like, let's say you take anything in this world, like, actually take a tree, right? In order for a tree to grow, it requires, you know, we all know what it requires. It requires light, it requires soil.
Yeah.
But if you don't provide the right environment, the right limits, you know, let's say the temperature is too high, the temperature is too cold, that tree's never going to be able to grow. So you need limits in everything for it, or in order for it to sort of reach its perfection or its potential, right?
Yeah.
It's the same with human beings.
It is. So let's have my point of view about these limitations and your generation after a short break.
Yeah.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Welcome back to your listeners. This is Hugh Station. So, brother, up to now, we talked about the interest of the youth generation and the detrimental interest that will lead to bad habits in the future. And it's about consequences of our health and both physical and spiritual impact of the things that we are doing nowadays. And we opened the door to this topic that what do we detest?
Yeah, I was just saying that we detest limitations, right? And that's a big part of being a youth. I remember myself, I didn't like my parents like telling me what to do all the time or what other people were saying. But I'm just saying now I realize that in order to like reach our potential, we need those limitations. And I think I mentioned this maybe in some other episodes as well. Like if you want to become like the best at anything, you're going to have like a disciplined and limited life, right?
Exactly.
If you want to have like the best like physical body, then you're going to have to like limit what you're eating, for example. If you want to have the... You know, you want to be the best doctor in the world, you're going to have to spend time studying and you're going to have to sacrifice a lot of other things, right? So you shouldn't detest limitations. You should realize that they're actually a way for you to, like, growth. And you mentioned pain, right? Well, you know, there's the famous no pain, no gain, right?
You heard
this in English. So, yeah, without pain, there's no gain.
And, you know, I believe that restriction and limitation is an opportunity for you to grow. As you mentioned, it's a really important process to be organized, to have priorities. Priority is one of the things that our youth generation is trying to run away from. And, you know, they feel like if they keep themselves in a state of denial, for example, I have a lot of time to do that. No, it's not like that. Your time is limited, believe me. And till the moment that you keep and you put yourself in a state of denial of your limitations, you cannot grow.
Not only that, we're living in very, very competitive societies, by the way, right? If you're not doing the work, some other youth or someone other is doing it. And you're going to be left behind while that person is going to, like, move forward, right? Like, a very good example that one of my teachers gave is that, you know, today's you can specialize in so many different things, right?
Like, yeah.
And he said, like, today knowledge is very much like, imagine like the sun, there's sunlight, which is everywhere, right? But once you get a magnifying glass, right, that sunlight gets concentrated and can put a, you know, it can create a fire.
Exactly.
Right? So in the same way, like, you should specialize in something so you can create fire, you know, in that field. But specialization requires a lot of hard work. It requires studying. It requires, you know, it requires those limitations.
Yeah.
So you're in a competitive environment. If you're not focusing on what you're trying to do, you're not going to make it because someone else will beat you to it.
Allah Almighty, He is the creator of this body. He knows better than anyone in this world what kind of dark desires are in your soul. And even we have this beautiful verse of Holy Quran that Allah Almighty is nearer to you than your jugular vein. And this is so beautiful. It means that Allah Almighty knows you, know all the difficulty you're facing. And sometimes you have to sacrifice your interests in order to have the satisfaction of Allah Almighty.
You made a very good point. And that's, I would say, we see this maybe less among you today that are attracted towards spirituality,
yeah,
or kind of religious things. But, you know, those youth that are attracted towards those things, examples of those, I would say, look at the people that are right now that you consider to be pious and good people.
Yeah.
They were pious and good people when they were in their youth, right? That's why they've turned to as they're older.
Exactly.
So the more you develop yourself during the youth, the better you will be as you're older. And I believe that's all the time we have for this episode.
Yeah, unfortunately.
So please join us again. Alaykum assalam.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will tell you, dear youth, that the future belongs to you. By Allah's favor, you, dear youth, will see that day, and you will hand down your sources of pride to the future generations. Greetings be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
And inshallah, we will continue talking about
this. We'll discuss that inshallah in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And don't go away.
We will continue this very essential topic with our great youth.
Wassalamu alaikum. Wassalamu alaikum. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Latif. Ya Latif. Ya Latif. Ya Latif. Ya Allah. Ya Allah.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
The Limelight.
Operation Aqsa Flood not only highlighted the plight of Palestinians, but also indicated the power of Palestinian resistance in a coastal territory which has been under siege for some 17 years. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. The Israeli aggression against the people of Palestine has a long and tumultuous history marked by genocide, occupation, and countless human rights violations. The Palestinian struggle to liberate their country stands as one of the most enduring and contentious resistance movements in modern history. At its heart lies the issue of occupation, with Israel's presence in Palestinian territories being a source of deep-seated grievances, violence, and international concern. The roots of the Israeli occupation of Palestinian territories can be traced back to the late 19th and early 20th centuries, with the rise of the Zionist movement advocating for the establishment of a so-called Jewish homeland in historical Palestine. The Balfour Declaration of 1917, issued by the British government, lent support to these aspirations, laying the groundwork for the eventual creation of Israel in 1948. The events surrounding the creation of Israel in 1948, known as the Nakba, or the Catastrophe, marked a pivotal movement in the history of the region. Hundreds of thousands of Palestinians were displaced from their homes and became refugees as a result of the conflict between Israeli and Arab forces. In 1967, Israel launched a strike against Egypt, Jordan, and Syria in what became known as the Six-Day War. Supported by its Western allies, including the United States and Britain, the Israeli regime occupied the west bank of the River Jordan, including eastern part of the city of Al-Quds, the Gaza Strip, the Sinai Peninsula, and the Golan Heights. This marked the beginning of Israel's military occupation of Palestinian territories, which continues to this day. The Palestinians have utilized a variety of diplomatic and legal options to end the Israeli occupation over the past seven decades. In the early 1990s, efforts were made to negotiate a peaceful resolution to allow Palestinians to have their own state. Known as the Oslo Accord, it never put an end to the Israeli aggression as the regime continued its settlement expansion in the occupied Palestinian territories. There were other deals, including Camp David, which never resulted in peace and only emboldened Israel in its atrocities against Palestinians. Throughout its occupation of Palestinian territories, Israel has committed all kinds of atrocities against Palestinians, including massacring and non-stop human rights abuses, such as land confiscation, home demolitions, arbitrary arrests, and excessive use of force against Palestinian civilians. The Palestinian resistance to the Israeli occupation has taken various forms. It started with peaceful protests and civil disobedience, but with major world powers' unconditional support for Israel, under whose influence even Arab countries started normalizing their ties with the Israeli regime, the Palestinians were thus obliged to take up armed resistance to achieve their rights. The Palestinians decided to take up arms and fight for their liberation of their homeland, with groups such as Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad gaining prominence in the popular struggle. On 7th of October 2023, the Palestinian resistance fighters launched their biggest operation yet, a massive and deadly response to over 70 years of Israeli atrocities against them. Thousands of rockets fired from Gaza rained down on the occupied territories. The projectiles reached as far north as Tel Aviv and as far east as Al-Quds. Palestinian fighters stormed towns in the south of the occupied territories, launching deadly attacks and taking more than 200 captives, including military personnel. The 10-hour Al-Aqsa flood operation dealt a humiliating blow to Israel's much-touted military and intelligence, so-called superiority. Shortly after the operation, the Israeli military launched a massive strike on the besieged Gaza Strip. It has massacred nearly 35,000 Palestinians so far, many of them women and children. The Israeli regime, encouraged by the United States and its Western allies and support, outlined three major objectives for this onslaught on Gaza. The Israeli regime has not only failed to achieve any of its goals, but also was forced to negotiate with the resistance movement Hamas on a ceasefire. The failure to achieve these goals has not only exposed the limitations of Israel's military prowess, but it has also highlighted the resilience and the determination of the Palestinian resistance forces. Osama Hamdan, Hamas's representative in Lebanon, said, "There is no doubt that Operation Al-Aqsa Flood represented a success for the resistance movement, a success in carrying out a large-scale operation without the enemy being able to take action preemptively." Osama Hamdan added, "This operation succeeded in seizing the entire Gaza positions within just hours. This is undoubtedly a great achievement, but there's the question, was there any expectation for the enemy's reaction? Certainly, it was expected that there would be a reaction, because it is the nature of the occupation. It kills you, seizes your land, arrests you, and imprisons you." Osama Hamdan added, "Under this occupation for 75 years, you have two choices. Either you do nothing and it continues to kill you, capture you and seize your land, or you resist and the enemy will continue the aggression." He added, "But the message will be conveyed that the Palestinian people are still adhering to the right to resist, that the enemy is paying a price for its occupation." The English website of the Mehr News Agency has also covered the same story and tells us more. Operation Al-Aqsa Flood marked a significant turning point for the Palestinian people, showcasing the harsh reality of Israeli occupation to the world. This operation not only highlighted the plight of Palestinians, but also indicated the power of Palestinian resistance in a coastal territory which has been under siege for the past 17 years. Prior to Operation Al-Aqsa Flood, Arab countries were moving towards normalizing their ties with Israel, overshadowing the Palestinian cause. However, the Gaza war that followed the 7th of October operation has shifted global attention back to the long-standing struggle of the Palestinian people for their freedom over the past seven decades. It's been a stark reminder of the brutality of the Israeli occupation. Despite Israel's military might and reputation, the war in Gaza has been perceived as a humiliating defeat for Israel on multiple fronts. Public opinion worldwide has increasingly turned against Israel as images of civilian casualties and destruction in Gaza have circulated widely, shedding light on the brutality of the Israeli military, which has left no safe zone in Gaza. Even hospitals and United Nations refugee shelters in Gaza have been hit. The 7th of October operation is a testament to the power of Palestinian resistance, showcasing how a small and determined movement can withstand the might of the Israeli army, which is backed by the United States and many other Western countries. This operation highlighted the unwavering resilience of the Palestinian people and emphasized that resistance is not only a means of survival, but also a powerful tool in securing the right to self-determination of the Palestinian people.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
All of us should feel we have a responsibility with regard to Gaza. April 10th, 2024. My dear brothers and sisters here, many of you hold positions in various organizations, including in government organizations, in the judiciary, in legislative branches, as a cleric, in the propagation of religion, and in military. The majority of those here are the country's officials. We must show our gratitude in action to the nation. I completely agree with the things that the president said and believe they should be implemented. This needs to be planned out and advanced. Praise God, our officials have a sense of responsibility. We can understand and see this. They are working hard. They should continue these efforts and be disciplined in all areas. The events in Gaza are not something that one can overlook during this Eid and this month of Ramadan without objecting and paying attention to these events.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
The issue of Gaza is truly an important issue today. It is the main issue of the Islamic world. We must all truly feel a sense of responsibility in this regard. The hearts of nations are with them, the people of Gaza, even the non-Muslims. The marches and demonstrations taking place around the world in support of the Palestinians, the people of Gaza, and the oppressed people of this region are unprecedented. We have never seen anything like this before. This is unprecedented in recent decades to see people from Africa, Asia, Europe, and even the United States gather in the streets to chant in support of the Palestinian people during these tens of years since the lands of Palestine were usurped. So, it is obvious that a new change is taking place. There is a new development taking place in the Islamic world. There is something happening, and we should pay attention to this. The fact that the issue of Palestine has become a global priority is significant. Where? In London, in Paris, in European countries, and in Washington. The control that the Zionists have had over global media outlets throughout these years has not allowed for any voice to be broadcast in favor of Palestine or against the Zionists.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope.
Of Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pourreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alami, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
around the world with the reporters.
Dozens of organizations marched in Paris against Islamophobia and racism as Israel's attempted genocide and ethnic cleansing has caused increased state-sponsored repression against Europe's largest Muslim community. A main theme of the march was protecting children. Since October 7th, children as young as 10 years old have been charged with so-called apology for terrorism, while a child of 8 was falsely targeted for praying during recess. Scandals like those have many saying that non-white children are no longer being treated like children, but instead like suspected fanatics, delinquents, and full-grown adults.
We Muslims are enduring so much Islamophobia these days, and it's not like there wasn't a lot of Islamophobia in France already. The targeting of our children is a step too far, and it's incredible that they have taken this shameful step.
As France is accused of targeting Muslim children at home, their elite are giving military and political cover to Israel's mass murder in Gaza of an estimated 15,000 children and the orphaning of some 20,000 others.
On les bombarde.
It's totally unjust how we are watching murder, torture, and the bombing of embassies, and nobody is allowed to say anything. We're here to say stop the violence against Palestinian and Iranian people.
A decade ago, during another Israeli invasion of Gaza, France became the first country to ever ban pro-Palestinian demonstrations. They banned pro-Palestinian demonstrations for a month after the counterattack by Hamas on October 7th, handing out hundreds of thousands of euros in fines and making mass arrests. Police initially banned this march, claiming it was a threat to public order and possibly anti-Semitic. That was overturned at the last moment, but many say the effort is proof of a long-running double standard against non-whites and non-Jews.
C'est des antisémites. Ça, c'est n'importe quoi.
Anytime there is a march about Palestine or Islamophobia, the interior minister in whatever administration seeks to ban it. The idea that we are anti-Semitic is total nonsense. I get the feeling that I'm more French than many others who aren't of Algerian descent, as I am, because many have totally abandoned the longtime values of French political culture.
Similar to during France's two-year state of emergency starting in November 2015, many have been shocked by the lack of outcry at this latest targeting of the Muslim community, despite perpetual bragging of being the alleged birthplace of human rights. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
After almost 3 days, the Israeli forces withdrew from the refugee camp of Nur Shams near the city of Tul Karim in northern occupied West Bank. Only then paramedics were able to evacuate the martyrs' bodies and the families were able to count their dead. Over a dozen Palestinians have been killed since Thursday, but the number might be higher, as reports suggest that Israeli forces had confiscated the bodies of more martyrs. On Sunday, a comprehensive general strike was declared across the occupied West Bank to mourn Tul Karim martyrs. Scores of Palestinians also held a protest in the center of Ramallah against Israel's escalation and violence in Tul Karim and Nur Shams refugee camp.
Israel is expanding its genocide into the West Bank as well. And as we said before, there is no safe place for any Palestinian. And there has to be immediate Palestinian unity to stand up to this terrible aggression. And there has to be international boycott, divestment, sanctions campaign worldwide. And there has to be condemnation.
It's obvious that the Palestinian people, leadership and factions have to declare an immediate comprehensive popular uprising all over the Palestinian territories until the Israeli occupation ends. The ongoing war of attrition is no longer useful, but what's necessary is a national popular uprising.
The Israeli invasion has caused some of the worst destruction in the West Bank in decades. The occupation forces destroyed infrastructure, including sewage lines, shops, homes, and vehicles. Homes were turned into interrogation centers, and dozens of Palestinians were arrested. According to locals, heavy exchange of fire and clashes took place between resistance fighters and Israeli soldiers during the operation. The Israeli military admitted that at least 9 of its soldiers were wounded.
The Israeli occupation regime is escalating its violence against the Palestinian people. Its crimes are meant to exterminate the Palestinian people. In Gaza, genocide is being committed, and here in the West Bank, there are daily incursions, murders, collective punishment, and destruction everywhere. The Israeli occupation is doing its utmost to either bring Palestinians to their knees or commit more aggression and crimes against them.
Sunday's general strike paralyzed all aspects of life in the West Bank, with shops, schools, universities, and banks shuttered. But Palestinians question whether such a standstill is enough, expressing fear that once the Israeli military is done with Gaza, the occupied West Bank could be next. The Israeli military's violence against Palestinians is aimed at countering resistance, people here say. This is part of the Israeli crackdown on armed groups in the occupied West Bank. However, Palestinians say the Israeli crimes, including in the Nur Shams refugee camp, have failed to weaken their determination. Mona Kandil, occupied Ramallah.
A two-day international forum dubbed What Future for Palestine kicked off in Rome on Saturday. The initiative, organized by an opposition group called Front of Dissent, has been put together to tackle different topics, namely Zionism, its impact on Palestine and West Asia, the nature of Israel, what changes for the Palestinian resistance after October 7, West Asia in its transition to a multipolar world, and the risk of the Ukraine war escalating into a global conflict. The conference was attended by citizens who are very concerned about the turn the situation has taken in Western countries.
Today's forum is an important attempt to break down the wall of silence surrounding Zionist wrongdoings in West Asia. It is appalling how our mainstream media are covering Israel's brutal war in Gaza. They have created a parallel world and a parallel truth with the aim of covering up the bad things Israel is doing.
The superpowers that support Zionism are former colonial powers, most of them. And they had a role in creating Zionism in the first place. Many people allowed the Zionists to really empower themselves. So they were originally empowered by people who probably had a sense of guilt about the Holocaust, but eventually they became so powerful that they are able to control so many media outlets. They are able to control many politicians.
Speakers at the conference included former diplomats, politicians, journalists, and activists from several countries, including China, the US, Britain, Russia, and many others. Video links were also established with the spokesman for the worldwide anti-Zionist religious group, Neturei Karta International. Analysts at the conference are saying that the aftershocks of the Gaza crisis triggered by Israeli genocidal war are highly likely to reach far beyond West Asia and the Africa region. With the U.S. credibility as a regional security guarantor shot to pieces, West Asia might see increased diplomatic engagement from China and Russia.
Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan received the head of the Hamas political bureau, Ismail Haniyeh, in Istanbul. During the meeting that lasted for more than 2.5 hours, the two sides discussed the Israeli aggression on Gaza, ways and measures to ensure uninterrupted and sufficient delivery of humanitarian aid to Gaza, and a lasting peace in the West Asia region. During the meeting, President Erdogan stated that amid ongoing tensions in the region, it is important to keep the world's attention on Gaza and not allow the Israeli regime to achieve political gains from its standoff with Iran. In a statement published by the Turkish presidency, Erdogan said, "It is vital that Palestinians act with unity in this process. The strongest response to Israel and the path to victory lie in unity and integrity."
Today's meeting was very important for both Turkey and Hamas to set ground for the upcoming changes. We all know now Qatar is hosting Hamas Bureau and leaders as well as playing the role of mediator in negotiations with Israel. While there is a pressure from Washington for Hamas to leave Qatar, and there is the question of where will Hamas go now? We know that the relation of Hamas and Syria is getting better, and it already has a good relation with Iran. But I don't